But once Pyrrhus was unable to protect the Greeks of the south against the Romans dominated the Greeks of the south. So we can say that by about 290 BC, Rome was dominant in the Italian peninsula. It is no coincidence that the Licinian Sextian laws granting virtual political equality in the Roman system passed in 287, very shortly after the end of these wars. The Roman military establishment, you see, had really depended on large numbers of people, and therefore it could no longer exclude them from participation in the political system. Now, these wars against the Samnites, against the Greeks of the south, and against Pyrrhus of Epirus are interesting and revealing to us for a couple of other important reasons. We see already then certain fundamental aspects of Roman military practice and tactics and of Roman diplomatic practice. So in this very earliest phase, we see some elements that are utterly characteristic of the Romans for a very long time into the future. Now, the early Romans, for example, appear to have borrowed the hoplite phalanx from the Greeks. That was the high-tech military establishment of the times. And so the Romans borrowed it. Now, that, we might just say parenthetically, demonstrates a constant theme of Roman history. A very pragmatic willingness to borrow whatever works. The Romans were quite willing to adapt, to adopt, to borrow, to steal ideas, notions, artistic motifs, poetic motifs, military practices, no matter what it was. The Romans would borrow. If it worked, they'd use it. All right. But when the Romans fought the Samnites, they faced a situation where the hoplite phalanx was just useless. The Samnite hills, as any World War II veteran who fought his way up the Italian peninsula could tell you, are a series of very tough, hard, 2,000-meter-high ridges, one after another. In those hills, the phalanx just wasn't useful. The phalanx is useful on a great open field. So the Romans began to evolve the legion, a series of military groups arrayed in something like checkerboard fashion on the battlefield. It's extremely flexible. It's extremely fast. It can move in one direction, move in another direction, apply pressure in one place, receive pressure in another place. The Romans basically learned how to build, to deploy, and to use the legion in the wars against the Samnites. And it was then with those legions that the Romans went off to conquer most of the then known world. Now, Roman diplomacy was the stuff of legend in antiquity. It's been much studied and in certain respects much emulated ever since. Roman diplomacy rested on a few very basic principles. Some of these, it will occur to you as we go along, we've been hearing a lot about in very recent times. The first was the principle of just war. The Romans believed absolutely that the gods would not give Rome victory in a war of aggression. So the Romans always had to assure themselves that they were fighting to defend themselves, that they were avenging an attack against themselves, or, as the theory evolved, that they were forestalling an attack which they viewed as inevitable. All right? So the notion of a just war, justum bellum, the war must be just or the gods will not give victory. A second very important principle of Roman diplomacy was generosity toward the conquered. Beginning with the Latins in 338 BC, for example, Rome's conquered enemies, at least in Italy, were offered favorable peace terms and a form of Roman citizenship. So the Romans did not sort of put the boot heel on the necks of those whom they defeated. They defeated someone and treated them generously. A third key principle was the notion of divide and rule. Divide and rule. In other words, if you divide your enemies, you can rule them more easily. The Romans never made the exact same deal with any two people. Now, the very interesting element there, of course, is that no two potential foes had the same grievance. Rome's idea was that people couldn't gang up together against Rome because they would never have quite the same problems, quite the same grievances, quite the same difficulties. Roman diplomacy, as a further element of the divide and rule principle, operated on the principle that your friend is your neighbor but one. Your friend is your neighbor but one. Imagine a sequence, A, B, C. I'm A. If I want to control B, I make an alliance with C. My friend is my neighbor but one. So the Romans were masters at spotting somebody who was difficult and making an alliance with that person's neighbor. A fourth element was sheer tenacity.